Call for Action presents Of Consuming Interest, a public service show that discusses scams, deceptive offers, and other consumer concerns. Here's the director of WJLA 7 Call for Action and your host, Shirley Rooker.
If you're in the military, we have some news for you. The Federal Trade Commission is here to help you. And joining us is Carol Kando. She is the manager of the Military Consumer Campaign. And the whole goal of this campaign is to protect our military against some of the most common problems, such as identity theft, imposter scams, debt collectors. And then, of course, there's always the old buying a used car scam that gets many of us across the population. But at any rate, Carol, welcome to Of Consuming Interest. I think this is a wonderful project that you all have. I know it's been going on. It's not brand new. It's been going on for a while. But you are making a push and you're doing a lot of interesting things. Tell us about some of the highlights of what's happening with the campaign.
Sure. Thank you so much for having me. I appreciate the opportunity to talk a little bit about the work that we're doing to help our service members and the military community. So as you say, the campaign's been around for a long time, probably 4 or 5 years now, and we've just revamped the website. The military is a special community for us. We know that they're often targeted for scams because they've got that steady paycheck from Uncle Sam. For a lot of our service members, especially the junior enlisted, this is their first work assignment. This is their first time away from home or away from family, familiar surroundings. And we also know that military families move around an awful lot, and it can be as much as every 2 years, every year, every 3 years. That's a lot of things to store and to buy, a lot of transactions that are happening, probably more than for the average civilian family. That's a lot of people handling their information. And so we know that creates that little sliver of opportunity for scammers to get in there and try to either rip them off or get their personal information.
So your big goal is to help provide information to these consumers so that they don't get ripped off.
That's right.
And I think that's wonderful. Now, do you provide other resources as well? For example, do you have a special phone number set up for the military or any of those things?
Well, we don't have a special phone number set up for the military, but they can file a complaint from anywhere in the world at ftc.gov/complaint, and it goes into our secure database that we share with other law enforcers. It's confidential, and only law enforcement can have access to it. But then that way, if FTC can't do something about your particular complaint, there might be another law enforcement agency that is able to act on it.
So we can compile information and see trends and see what's happening, especially to the military members. So, yeah, that could be a very valuable service for law enforcement. Okay, so let's talk about some of these common problems. Now, I know, of course, managing finances, especially on a military budget, can be difficult. So this can mean that we may find some military members who are in debt. And debt collectors can plague the population, unscrupulous ones. You know, debt collectors have their place, but let's abide by the law. Now, I know the Federal Trade Commission has a set of rules under which debt collectors have to operate. They apply to all of them. So would one of the first things you would tell our military, is to check out the FTC website on debt collectors?
Yes, most definitely. We've got a special site for our military consumers that's especially mobile friendly. It was created with mobile in mind first, so that when you're on the go and you encounter a problem or you're about to make a purchase, you can just look up the tips on your phone and scan them quickly and get exactly what you need. If you need to do a little bit of a deeper dive, most of those articles have links to longer Federal Trade Commission articles or articles from our other military partners that have written on the same topics.
Well, I can tell you that we often refer people to your Fair Debt Collection Practices Act, and your information is good, it's very useful, and it does lay out for consumers exactly what their rights are and the framework within which the debt collectors have to operate. And, you know, I think they have a job to do, but some of them are a little bit overeager in the way they do it. So
right.
It's really important for consumers to understand what the parameters are within which they can operate. So any other information on debt collectors that we need to think about?
Well, I first of all, I would tell our military families that they do need to know their rights and go look them up. You need to know that if a debt collector is calling you, they may have the right to do that, to pursue payment on this debt.
Absolutely.
But they have to adhere to those rules. They can't call you too early in the morning or too late at night. They can't call your family and your friends. They can't call you at work and try to get information about you from them. They can't threaten you or use obscene or harassing language. You basically just have to be treated fairly. And if you're not so sure about this debt and you're not so sure about this debt collector, you can ask for a validation notice. That's really just notice to you in writing about who you owe the debt to and how much the debt is for, so that you can start to straighten out and make sure that it really is something that you're on the hook for.
Yes, because and there are statutes of limitation on when a debt can be collected. And I believe that varies by that's a state law that
that's
puts
right.
a limitation on it. Some states have a 3-year limit within which the debt can be collected, and beyond that, it is not they're not supposed to come after you for it. I'm not encouraging people to try to skate with their debts, but mm-hmm. I'm just saying that if this is something that you have moved a couple of times and you don't know if it's yours or not, you're absolutely right. Really insist on getting proof that it's your debt and how much the debt was originally and what they've added on in terms of their costs.
That's exactly right. And also, there are a lot of debt collectors out there that are pursuing fake debts. They're phony debt collectors,
mm-hmm.
and they're making up a debt. You don't really owe anything. Or maybe you did owe something, and they're embellishing it to say that you owe more, you owe other people. And sometimes that can be confusing to people, because if you have moved around a lot, if there was maybe a missed bill that you didn't realize, you could be in debt and not
mm-hmm.
know it. Some folks really fear what's going to happen to their credit report, and they just want to pay it and make it go away. But it is well worth checking and getting that validation notice, because a fake debt collector isn't going to be able to give you that. And you certainly don't want to be paying out to a scammer thinking that it's a debt that you owed.
We also usually tell consumers, if someone calls you and tells you they're a debt collector and they try to get you to admit that the debt is yours, do not do that. Tell
mm-hmm.
them you don't believe the debt is yours. If you have any doubts at all about it, it's a good idea to say it's not my debt. You have to prove it. And I think that's what's required under federal law, isn't it?
That's right. And it just makes sense, because if this person calls you out of the blue, you don't necessarily know who they are and who they're representing, or if they're trying to trick you into paying or giving up information. So it's always good to distance yourself that way. Ask for that validation notice. Ask for information from them, and do not claim the debt is yours. And then you can do a little digging around to see what the real situation
well,
is.
Well, research this debt collection company online and see if there are complaints about them.
Mm-hmm. That's
you know,
right.
I mean, really and truly, there's a lot of information out there, but there's also a lot of information about us that can be misused. So consumers need to be aware of that. And I do think that debt collectors can scare people. I think you hit it right on the head when you said that, you know, they get scared that they're going to have something negative on their credit report. Let's just take a brief pause here to let our listeners know they're tuned in to Of Consuming Interest. I'm Shirley Rooker. My guest is Carol Kando. She is the manager of the Military Consumer Campaign that is spearheaded by the Federal Trade Commission. They're there with wonderful information. What is the website, Carol?
The website is military.consumer.gov.
Okay, military.consumer.gov. So go look it up, because it's got some very useful information. All of us can learn from it, actually, when you get right down to it. All right, some of the other scams that are targeting our military. The debt collectors, of course, we know that's a common one. Identity theft. Now, that is a common one within the general population, but is that more prevalent, do you think, with the military?
You know, I don't know if nowadays it is more prevalent with the military. For a long time, service members were definitely at a slightly higher risk, because their Social Security numbers were used as an identifier throughout
mm-hmm.
all of their military dealings, right? So I had heard stories from service members who would tell us that They were moving out on some sort of a mission, and everybody's gear bags were stacked at the back of an open truck with no door at the back. And your Social Security number is spray-painted onto that gear bag. And it's your name and your Social Security number just, like, sort of stacked right up. Anybody could come up and take a picture of it, and they had some names and Social Security numbers. I'm told that is no longer the case. That doesn't happen, and that hasn't happened for quite some time now. The Social Security number used to appear on your official military ID. There was a rolling program. It happened over several years so that they could get through everybody and the families. But I believe now the Social Security numbers are off the IDs. So DOD has taken a number of steps to start to protect that information for service members to help them a little bit. But they're still at the same risks that the rest of the population is at. And they need to know what to do if they encounter identity theft or if their information is subject to a data breach.
Well, you know, I tell consumers, don't provide your Social Security number unless it is absolutely required.
That's right.
And it's not required when you go join the gym. It's not required when you do things like that. I mean, they may ask for it, but why do they need it?
Right.
I mean, that's not what Social Security numbers are meant to be used for. It is not an identifier. So just be very careful about that. And also, I think, and I'm sure this is what you advise the military, is to keep track of your debts, keep track of your credit cards. If you get strange mail that doesn't pertain to you, but it says that you owe a debt, don't just toss it and think it's a mistake, because it may be that somebody has stolen your identity. And we deal at Call for Action. We deal with this. We've been dealing with identity theft. As a matter of fact, we did some fabulous, if I must say so myself.
Probably about 20 years now.
A long time ago. Yeah. That's exactly right, Carol. So it is a project that we've held very dear, because it's can ruin your life. I mean, it can just immerse you in all kinds of horrible things. We even had one consumer. The police showed up at their door somebody had committed a crime and used their identity.
Yeah, that's the nightmare.
Oh my goodness! And medical, of course, you've got to be very careful with your medical information, because you can be subject to medical identity theft. So, it's a really huge problem. Anything else you want to say on the identity theft issue?
Well, I would say for military families, not everybody is completely aware of this, but for everybody, there's an increase in child identity theft. So the thieves are stealing your children's Social Security number. Mm-hmm. And then using them for whatever. And of course, it's very difficult to track. You don't even realize it's going to happen until the first time your child goes to get credit in their own name. So the first time they apply for a student loan, or maybe they try to get a loan for that used car that they want when they're 16 or 17. So there are different procedures for folks to check credit reports and put a fraud alert for a child, because a child isn't supposed to have a credit history, right? They're not supposed to have a credit file. So there shouldn't be a credit
report. We certainly hope they don't.
Yeah, right. That's right. So the credit reporting agencies, companies will do a manual search by Social Security number so that they'll pull up whenever that Social Security number was used. It might not necessarily be your child's name, but their Social Security number might have been misused. And so we suggest to folks that they start thinking about doing that proactively when their children are about 16, 17, when you're starting to think about getting them their credit, so that you can check and correct any problems that might come up before they actually need to have that loan in hand.
Carol, am I correct in thinking that children are issued Social Security numbers right after they're born?
I think generally they are. Often it's right in the hospital. You can do the paperwork right there and get that Social Security number within a few weeks. So, you know, that gives somebody an awful long time to misuse that number if it was stolen
because you don't know it. I mean, as you say, your child is not trying to go access their credit line or trying to establish credit. And so there's really it's kind of the silent crime out there that's waiting to pounce on these poor kids when they actually do try to get a line of credit.
It's a good idea to try to check it once they get to that point where you're starting to think about needing, you know, them to have credit of their own, and then give yourself enough time to clean it up. And there may be nothing, but just in case there is something there, it'll give you a little
bit. And you're entitled to get free credit reports from all of the credit bureaus every year.
That's right.
And if you've been the victim of identity theft, I think you're entitled to several, aren't you? I can't remember the number.
That's right. So, you know, If you go to annualcreditreport.com, you can order 3 free credit reports every year, mm-hmm. one from each of the 3 credit reporting companies. We tend to tell people to stagger your orders.
Yep.
So get one in January, a different company in April, and a different company in October, so that you're seeing some snapshot of your credit file.
Yes.
All during the year. Because then if one looks fine and then 3 months later there's a problem in one of them, they're not going to be completely identical, because it's just a snapshot of your credit file, and they may collect from different companies, but it'll give you a really good idea of what your credit history looks like.
Yeah, and consumers don't realize that credit bureaus don't necessarily deal with the same companies.
Right.
Some companies will use one credit bureau, and some will use 2 or 3, and yeah, it's an individual business by business kind of thing that consumers need to be aware of.
That's right. And even though you could get them all, you know, at the beginning of the year, at the middle of the year, whenever you wanted to, it sort of makes sense to use one of them as like the canary in the coal mine. If mm-hmm. there's a problem, better to get on it a few months ahead of time rather than wait to see that annual report.
And especially if someone's planning on making a large purchase, if they want to buy a car, used or new, or if
right.
they think about buying a house.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that might apply. The house might not apply as much to our military, although they do buy houses.
They do, yeah. And there's often houses being bought when service members are transitioning out.
Mm-hmm.
People very often will say, you know, a military retiree or a veteran, and they think of somebody that perhaps is 50 or 60 years old or older, but a military retiree could be 35.
Mm-hmm.
And
that's true.
And still have young children, or be starting a family, or be buying a house for the first time. So yeah, it's a good idea.
Let's just take a brief pause here and let our listeners know that they're tuned in to Of Consuming Interest. I'm Shirley Wooker. My guest is Carol Kando. She is the manager of the Military Consumer Campaign that's being spearheaded by the Federal Trade Commission. It has wonderful information, mobile apps, lots of things that you should be aware of. And the website, Carol.
military.consumer.gov.
Yep, and that's a good one, and it's excellent information for all of us, actually. Okay, now one of the other big things that you say that often hit the military are the imposter scams. Tell us what you mean by that.
So what we mean by imposter scams is any scammer, anybody that is pretending to be a legitimate person to take advantage of you. So it could be a scammer is pretending to be a government official, like an IRS agent, or they're pretending to be a business that is reaching out to help you, like with a tech support scam, or they're pretending to be somebody that's interested in you on a dating website. That would be a romance imposter scam.
Okay, so these are people pretending to be something they aren't.
Mm-hmm.
What do you need to do? I mean, are there some warning signs that people would see and think, this is not quite right? How do you check them out?
Well, this is exactly why we like people to know the kinds of scams that are evolving,
that
are happening
yeah.
out in the world, so that they can recognize them, right? Because scammers are very, very good. They're very professional at what they do.
They make a lot of money.
They make a lot of money. They're very plausible. Sometimes their stories really make sense. They know exactly where to go. And they know how to manipulate our emotions to create a sense of urgency and to just, you know, they know exactly what buttons to press in each one of these pitches, which is why they tend to work. And they just want to create enough confusion to get you off balance so that you maybe make a wrong move, or you act in haste because they've created this sense of urgency. And then almost as soon as you've done it, you're like, this doesn't really feel right. Why did I do that? I'm not
mm-hmm.
sure about this, right? That's all they need. They just need that little bit of second of confusion. So with, say, for instance, with a romance scam, there are people out there that will either pose as service members looking to find a match online, or somebody who supports the military and they're trying to date a service member. And typically the sign that somebody should look for on one of these dating sites is if somebody is moving very, very fast, they're looking, you know, to sort of commit very quickly, they want to get in a relationship, and they're professing love right away, they want to get you off that dating site as soon as possible and communicating privately by text or by email. Generally, they'll say that they live abroad, or they're stationed abroad, or they've just moved, which is why you can never see them. They make a lot of excuses about why you can't visit them or why they can't visit you. And then they'll start by having, there's some sort of an emergency and they need to borrow money. And it might be a small amount of money or a small kind of help or assistance. But generally, if that works, they're
just setting you up. Yep.
They're setting you up to ask for more and for more. And it seems very innocent. And before you know it, you might be 3 months in or 2 months in and feel like you actually have a relationship with this person. And like, well, of course I have to help them. I have to send them this money.
Right.
But scammers will go the distance.
And they can be patient because it only takes a few minutes to send you an email. And it certainly doesn't take any effort at all
to send
you a phony picture. I mean, we had one guy contact us and he said, well, I'm thinking about sending this money to this woman. And I remember she was in some foreign country. And you know, our comment to him was, how do you know it's a woman? Mm-hmm. Oh, I have her picture. Sure you do. I mean, you can't believe that kind of thing at all. Now, one of the other areas that you mentioned to me where the military can be vulnerable is if they're trying to use their military funds for education. Tell me about that.
That's right. Well, you know, our service members really want to be sure that it's like with any big purchase, right? Whether you're going to buy a car or a house or anything else that's going to cost you a lot of money. You want to do your research. You want to do your background. And when it comes to using your educational benefits, you want to know that the programs that you're investigating are going to get you where you want to go, right?
Right,
you want to make
exactly.
sure that you can use your benefits. How much are your benefits going to cover? Will you have to take out a loan? Well, then you should know that probably a student loan guaranteed by the federal government is going to get you better terms than probably a private loan would. So do your homework there. See what you're eligible for and what it's going to cost. And if you have to take out a private loan, what's that going to cost you? And if you finish this program, are you going to be able to get a job in your chosen field? So we've got a whole article under in military.consumer.gov about earning an education and the kinds of questions you should be asking of the program, the things you need to look at to do your research so that you can evaluate both the schools you're looking at, the programs, whether you're going to be able to get that job in that field. You can even, there are links to look up different kinds of careers to see, are there jobs in those careers now? What typically do people make?
And where are the jobs located? I mean, that's a big question. Do you want to move? If you don't want to move, do you want to go into that field? If that's generally, if you want to go into some sort of construction that has to do with oil wells, or you may be sent to a foreign country, whatever, I mean, to get a job, is that what you're willing to do?
I think there's
so many questions on that. And the other thing that occurs to me is not only can this kind of educational scam affect the consumer, the military, it takes away their time as well as their money.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, you may spend a year or two pursuing something and find out it's worthless. So don't believe the glossy claims would be what I would say.
Yes, and I would tell them whether you're looking at a private school, a private nonprofit, mm-hmm. a private for-profit, a community college, whoever, you want to investigate all of the classes that you'll be taking and look at the enrollment contract, okay? People
mm-hmm.
don't think of it necessarily as a contract. They think of it as an enrollment agreement or, you know, they're you know, just signing to go to college or to go to this vocational program. But it's a contract, like any other contract,
mm-hmm.
and you want to read the terms and conditions about when you can cancel, how much money you'll lose if you cancel. What if something happens and you have to stop halfway through? Do you have to start over from the beginning? Can you carry those credits forward? And most importantly, you want to find out the school's accreditation, because the accreditation is going to determine whether your credits transfer to any other college or program.
Because if you want to start out and then you want to move to another college, or you're moving, changing areas, that would be very critical.
Mm-hmm. It's particularly for military spouses who may be starting their education in one location, and then if the spouse gets papers to move within a year, they may need to transfer their college. And what if the college
and if it's not any good,
yeah, going to doesn't accept it, they're starting
over. Accredited. You've got it. Well, you know what? The time has just flown by, Carol. Give the website again, please.
It's military.consumer.gov. But please also follow us on Twitter @MilConsumer.
Okay. You know, there's a lot to learn and a lot to know, and you all are doing a great job by reaching out to the military, Carol. Thank you so much for joining us. You've been listening to Of Consuming Interest. My guest has been Carol Kando. She is the manager of the Military Consumer Campaign. Take advantage of it. It's worthwhile. I'm Shirley Rooker. Thank you for joining us.
Of Consuming Interest is a public service program presented by WJLA 7 Call for Action, hosted by Shirley Rooker. Call for Action is an international nonprofit network of hotlines which offer free and confidential assistance. If you have a complaint, contact Call for Action at 301-652-HELP. That's 301-652-HELP.